Genesis House, FirstNet, built with AT&T, and the Friends in Recovery podcast are proud to bring you Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. Join your hosts,
Podfather, Jersey Ed,
and Noontime with Skylar New,
as they address the real issues of first responders' health and wellness, from physical and mental health to relationships and work-life balance. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, is available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, and YouTube, as well as iHeartRadio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, here are your friends in recovery answering the call.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. I am the Podfather, Mike Miles, and I'm here today with...
Hey, guys, Jersey Ed.
Jersey Ed.
And Noontime with Sky.
Noontime with Sky. Love that smile. How's everybody doing?
Good, Podfather. Good, good, good. How about you?
Oh, much better now. Much better.
Talked him off the ledge.
Yeah. Podfather was ready to take a leap. We all have those days.
We do. And that's actually a good segue into real quick what we're going to be talking about, PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, yes.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in a minute. But guys, we have a lot of good stuff on PTSD today. And stay tuned. We're just going to give you some information. If you want to call us on our phone number, reach us at 617-379-1163. Or you can email us at help@friendsinrecoverypodcast.com. If you have any questions, or if you want to be a guest on the show, or whatever you want to do, firefighters, police, whoever, just email me. And if you want to be a guest, we'll get you on. The Podfather, you've been doing some great things to get a couple people on here. So thank you very much as far as all that goes, getting
my pleasure
guests. And today is a solo show. Sky, do you have anything you want to bring up, the Facebook pages and all that real quick?
Yeah. So we have a lot of cool things going on. Friends in Recovery Community has an adventures page where we have a planning committee each month. So far, it looks like there is one on April. Is it the 3rd? I believe it is. First Tuesday of every month. So it's April 6th. So that's in 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Very nice. You guys doing a lot of work with that.
We do, man. We do. So we're you can get all this stuff on go to Facebook. Facebook's our like go-to social media stuff. Mm-hmm. Just go on Facebook and search for Friends in Recovery, and then you'll see everything come up, the Answering the Call. Everything will come up there. So also likes and subscribes, guys. That's what keeps the show going. That's what keeps the show alive. That's what gets the show out to more first responders. Like us and subscribe. Once you subscribe, you'll get that bell. And every time we come up, we change everything. Every Tuesday morning, I think the show will start coming out now. So you can a new show every Tuesday morning. So just be there. And we have a lot of people out there right now and kind of wonderland looking for our advice. I get a lot of good emails about you, Podfather. A lot of good stuff. Yeah, I do. That they appreciate what you've done for us. You've kind of led the way in health and wellness for first responders. You, our guest Brian Fleming, some of the guys out in Chicago when they started all those the peer-to-peer groups out there. You guys are like one of the first, and you guys should be proud of yourself for doing this, you know?
Well, hearing you say that, I had lunch with a firefighter today who came to me about 15 months ago. He had an alcohol problem. He's been sober 15 months. He took my advice and he started doing meetings. He zooms in on your meetings. He hasn't Good. Spoken yet. He just likes to pay attention.
Good.
But 15 months sober. He's going to be a guest on our show eventually. And he's going to be on the Answer to the Call. He works up in up in New Hampshire. But anyway, I think it's important that people that are in this field, that are in the emergency services field, public servants, know that there's something out there for them, that they don't have to search far. All they got to do is pick up their phone, their computer, and here we are.
It's amazing now, right? I mean, before we had to go give a secret knock on the door, right? You remember those days?
Just about Eddie Donovan. Like I always talk about Eddie Donovan in Boston. And that's what it was like. It was in Mattapan, which is a part of Boston. And in the first AA meeting I went to, There was about 7 or 8 Boston cops. They were very suspicious of who I was. Mm. I had to show my badge and,
yeah,
you know, to get in. And, you know, I had been to AA meetings, but that was a unique one. And I felt at home. And, you know, that was 35 years ago.
Just about, you know? Yeah, that was the pioneer days. Now it's getting better. And we still have a long way to go, guys, because there's a lot of things that are not being addressed, especially amongst the first responders. And today we're going to talk about it as a PTSD. I shouldn't say it's not being addressed, but it's not being addressed, I believe, the way it should be. Right. Podfather, I think you're on the same boat. You're on the same page with me and Skylar, is that the PTSD kind of gets looked at not just by the first, the higher ups, the first responders themselves, like, I got this. This is good. I seen a kid die. You know, you see one, you see them all. Right. And the thing with PTSD, and correct me if I'm wrong, Podfather, is that that one kid dying, that one car accident, that one heart attack, that one, it keeps getting dropped in a bucket. And then that bucket overflows.
Right. Right.
And that's when things start happening, the booze, the drugs. I just want to read, it'll take real quick. It's 10 symptoms of PTSD. I pulled this off of Facty Health. Most people with post-traumatic distress disorders underwent a traumatic event or experience in their past that they had led them to a mental and physical symptom that can last for years and can be debilitating. Hmm. In recent years, more research and treatment possibilities have developed to help people with this sometimes life-threatening mental health condition.
Sure.
Guys, this is nothing to screw around with. This is a life-threatening. This is from a very well-known website that I visit every once in a while, that they're saying it's life-threatening. So if the higher-ups aren't doing anything about it, and if we aren't doing anything about it as first responders, or you, Podfather's first responders, something has to be done. We got to shed more light on this. We got to make sure these first responders are getting some help, because life threatening. I got this. That's PTSD, man. It's talking. It's a disease just like alcoholism. I'm going to go on a limb and say that, and it can kill us.
Well, you know, a lot of people can be affected by, I know a young woman, well, she's not a young woman now, but when she was a young woman, she had gone for a ride with a gentleman, and he tried to force himself. He tried to actually rape her, and it was an attempted rape. She was ashamed. It was back in the 60s. She didn't know how to tell her parents. She did. The police got involved. She went to court. Mm-hmm. He had a good lawyer. It was the second time he had tried this. She was the second victim, and he got off. But it altered this woman's life. She was 19 at the time. She's 73 now, and she has an eating disorder. She's never got married. She's been never taken any medication, but she's got a lot of anxiety, a lot of just a lot of severe issues. And that's a direct result of one incident that she just never processed properly.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this. I think there's anybody out there, but especially people in EMS, they have a bucket full of stories they could tell that they think of probably daily, weekly, monthly, and that were horrific. And they just responded and did their job the way they're supposed to. But that thought, that whole scenario still plays in their head. And what I found over the years is, even more importantly, if you want to add on to that, it's the administration's way of handling it. Mm-hmm. You know, a cop gets in a shooting, they take his gun right away. And that's all, you know, protocol. And I understand it. But it always makes, from every cop I've worked with, and I've worked with dozens that are involved in shootings, some fatalities. Mm-hmm. And they have always been concerned about what the department was thinking about them, what the city fathers are thinking about them. You know, did they think I did something wrong? You know, they're investigating it. They haven't gotten back to me right away. I think there should be a protocol, and they should, once you get all the facts, get right back to this officer, let them know, let her know that they're clear or they're not, one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, the first of all, the PTSD shooting somebody, that's number one. I mean, that's something nobody has ever need to see or do or, you know, I mean, that's number one. Number two, a police officer, I just heard something on another podcast I was listening to, and I'll tie it back into what I was just talking about. The police officer he was an addict. He ended up retiring early. He ended up getting hurt, got stuck on pills and ended up having to retire. And when he went in, he was on the force 20 some years. When he went in, he had to turn his badge, his gun, and his keys in. He said, "I felt empty. I felt completely empty. I had no identity anymore." He said, "I still can be a cop. I'm young." So back to taking the gun away, Podfather, that strips them from their identity. You know, or you as a first responder, it strips you from your identity. Now, on top of stripping you from your identity, you have to start thinking about, oh my God, is my job safe? Did I shoot him? Did I shoot him for the right reasons? Did I did, you know, whatever it is, that's all those drops in a bucket we were just talking about with PTSD.
Right. Right. And I also think, I'm sorry, Sky, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say, do you think that because you're in recovery, Podfather, that gave you like another identity to have aside from being a cop? And that might have been kind of saved you in some ways.
Right.
Right. Like having the identity in recovery with your recovering like us, and then you have your cop. So that might have been a good thing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And as we all know that are in recovery, I think we really truly find who we really are, what we're capable of doing. Past mistakes, we don't want to make them again. So we're real vigilant. We try as hard as we can not to make them again. And I don't mean just by picking up. We'd never want to do that, but I'm just talking about other, you know, life experiences that we might be involved with. But I think it's important that the DSM-5 now calls post-traumatic stress. They don't call it a disorder anymore. It's just post-traumatic stress. And you know, anybody can experience it. But if you're in the line of work where you go to motor vehicle accidents, or you go to suicides, or you go to shootings, or fires, you know, where people succumb, or animals or pets, I mean, you know, there's bad things happening. It's going to be with you. And there should be some type of protocol, something set up that in most departments I know of now, at least they have debriefings, diffusings, which are good. But years ago, they didn't have that. Now they do. You know, but I think the identity of, if you shoot somebody now, a man of color, a woman of color, even if you are of color, even if you are Afro-American as the officer, well, I've seen a couple of them, you know, all of a sudden now there's another component. Now the media might make you out to be a racist.
Drop in a bucket. Yeah.
Imagine just doing your job. Officer Wilson shot Michael Brown, just doing his job, protecting his gun. All of a sudden he's this horrible person. Can you imagine the life this guy had to live after this? And when they do an investigation, guess what? He was 100% proper what he did. And that goes on. So I think it's even worse now because of the media.
Yeah, it goes so deep now. I want to just read the 10 symptoms, guys, of PTSD from Facty Health. And then we'll share on this a little bit. And then I got some questions I want to run by you guys too. So detachment from others is one. Flashbacks. 2, avoiding reminders. I had to dig deep into a little bit about that. It said some people with PTSD may avoid situations that remind them of the event around the trauma. So that was the reminder. So I guess if you've seen I don't know, a barber pole before you shot somebody, that might be a trigger for you, or whatever the case may be. So I just had, again, I'm not a first responder, but I just had to dig deep into that a little bit. One more, insomnia. That is a big one, guys, that I hear all the time. Insomnia with all our first responders. Lack of motivation. That's another one. Memory loss. Now, memory loss, does anybody have anything on that? Because memory loss, why? I guess because you're so foggy. I don't know why it would be.
I think
memory
it stores
loss.
Somewhere in the brain different. That's just my educated guess, because sometimes I've done EMDR, and with that, different things, like it can release it. You know, like it can help me remember certain things of the trauma.
Right. You might deliberately not want to remember.
Yes.
So, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Subconsciously, you're shutting that down. And exactly. So you're not going to remember it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The last two, feeling jumpy. And here's the big one, guys. This is where it'll turn everything really bad. Turning to drugs and alcohol.
Right.
That is when you've reached your bottom and you can't go any lower, because all this other stuff, when you turn to drugs and alcohol, all this other stuff that we just read gets enhanced by 1,000%, man.
Right.
1,000%, right. You know?
And they're leaving out other addictions too, you know, gambling, sex addiction.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I've met so many officers that, you know, over the years that, you know, they, they have stable marriages, they, whether they're male or female, and they have children, and things are going good. And then there's a traumatic event, and next thing you know, they're unfaithful, they're promiscuous, they're gambling, they never bought $100 worth of scratch tickets every day, and they're hoping to hit the big one so they can retire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your thinking is just completely off. It's somewhere else, you know.
And you're right. It is. It's crazy. But we're going to take a break here, Podfather, real quick. Sure. I know FirstNet built by AT&T is sponsoring the show, and we have to give them a little bit of time during the break. And you want to take us out of here?
Sure. I'm really happy to have them on board as well, too, as we all are.
Yes.
Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, as Ed just said, built by AT&T. We'll be right back.
You're first. First to respond, first to put others' lives before your own. And in an emergency, you need a network that puts you first, that connects you to technology, to each other, and to other agencies. Built with and for first responders. FirstNet, the only congressionally authorized wireless network for first responders. Because putting you first is our job.
Since 1992, Genesis House has been helping real people heal from addiction on their private recovery campus in beautiful Palm Beach County, Florida. Their family-owned program is accredited by the Joint Commission and offers detox and dual diagnosis treatment in a comfortable and confidential setting. At Genesis House, they focus on treating the underlying causes of addiction. Their comprehensive approach includes psychiatric care, individual and small group therapy, trauma healing techniques, and holistic care including yoga, massage, and animal-assisted therapy. After treatment, their clients enjoy the lifelong support of a nationwide network of Genesis House alumni. Call Genesis House today at 1-800-737-0933 to speak with someone who understands. Visit them on the web at www.genesishouse.net. It's time to start your journey to a long and successful recovery.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. I am the Podfather, Mike Miles, here with my good friends.
Jersey Ed, everybody, how you doing?
And Noontime with Skylar.
Skylar Noon.
Noontime always, with Skylar.
Always a pleasure.
It's one of those things, hi, this is Skylar.
Skylar Noon.
Coming from the midnight shift.
Hey, real quick, before I forget, because I am getting old. So there's a comedian up here. He's called Joey Voices, and his real name is Joseph Noon. Look him up, Sky.
Joey Voices.
Google Joey Voices, because there's a lot of famous Joey Noons, believe it or not. He's very good. Go ahead. Cool.
Good, good. Okay. Joey Voices, you got a free plug on ATC, guys. God. Real quick, I want to give the helpline out, because we are talking about some heavy duty shit here, guys. This is PTSD. And you know, some of us might be sitting here thinking, holy fuck, man, that's what I have. I can't remember. I have flashbacks. I'm detached from others. I'm drinking. I'm this, I'm that. And that's really important that we give these numbers out. So copline.org, if you go to copline.org, copline.org, you can get some help there. You can see what the help that they offer. You can see if you do have PTSD or what the symptoms are, how to get some help. Or you can call 1-800-COPLINE. That's 1-800-267-5463. That is a helpline. There's over 100 trained officers that volunteer from all over the country, ready to answer your call and talk to you about any situation you might be.
That's amazing. Yeah. It really is. Yeah,
it is.
And I know I said this last show or show before, but guys, in the next couple of weeks, we will have Stephanie Samuels on, who put this whole cop line together. I am looking so forward to that show. I'm telling you.
She's going to get a t-shirt, a mug.
Yeah, she's going to get everything. Yep, absolutely.
Autographed picture of the Podfather. And a Speedo.
No, we want her to come on, Podfather, okay?
Good point.
God. But that's, let me give you the number again, 1-800-COPLINE, 1-800-267-5463. If you're not feeling right, or if you want to even just call just to talk, call them. So before the show, we were talking about 10 symptoms of PTSD. I'll go over them real quick, and then I'm going to ask you guys some questions. And Podfather, you know, with your clinical background, you know, I think we can really get into them. And I think these 10 symptoms are very good to kind of listen to, guys. So detach from others, flashbacks, nightmares, avoiding reminders, insomnia, lack of motivation. What's this one? Anger. I stapled it in the wrong spot. Memory loss, feeling jumpy, and turning to drugs and alcohol. So that is, if you guys are a first responder and you're feeling some of that stuff, call that number or just get it. Podfather, get a hold of Podfather. He'll help you through a lot of stuff too. You
call know? Me and, directly.
Yeah.
Text, you know, I get messages, you know, frequently and, calls from different people, which is nice, you know, mm-hmm. But I really, we always try to send everybody in the right direction. We never ignore anyone, no matter who you are, you know, mm-hmm. That's what's important. And that's absolutely. When we started, you know, just Friends in Recovery, that's where we started out. And then Ed thought about this, which has turned out to be probably one of the better things I've ever done in my life. Yeah. This is definitely.
I know. It's mm-hmm. amazing. And you know what, guys, again, I know we keep saying it, but FirstNet built by AT&T, if this wasn't anything good, they wouldn't be here sponsoring us.
Right.
And, yes, and exactly. You know, it's just so cool that, that we're able to do this, the health and wellness of first responders. It's just kind of right up our alley, you know? Right. So,
yeah.
And we have resources and, you know, it's, believe me, if you think that your problem's not severe mm-hmm. enough, or you're somebody who we wouldn't help, you're retired, you were fired from the job, or you resigned, or whatever, no matter what job it is, or whatever, you know, or you know, your father was a cop, or your mother was whatever. We're here. We'll help you one way or the other.
Absolutely.
That's what I was going to ask too. Is cop line, like that's it? So you could call if you have family member. We'll have to ask that lady about, like, you know, family members of cops and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you're right. You got a good point. That's
absolutely. I'm sure family members call and say, hey, listen, you know, my husband, he's not acting right. He's detached from others, flashback, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure that they'll you know kind of do that too. But we will. Good. We will dig deep into that, you know, with Stephanie Samuels. Guys, I also looked up minddiagnostics.com, and they had a PTSD quiz. So it's minddiagnostics.com. There's 18 questions. Well, the last question is, you ever get treatment? But so 17 questions that I have here.
Yeah.
Very easy to use. It's very bright. It's very user-friendly. The question is up, and then there's four answers. You can click, you know, whatever it is, you know, mild, severe, blah, 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 whatever it's for, you ever experienced it, high level, low level, whatever it is. So they make it very easy. And then they give you a report at the end. So do you mind if I go through some of these questions and we can kind of talk about it? Okay, good. They're very interesting questions. And some of the questions I didn't even realize any of this. So question number one, having trouble. And I think we should just go through them. Stop me when you guys want to talk about them. If not, I'll just go through them. So our listeners can hear it.
Okay.
Question one, having trouble on things like reading TV shows or having trouble concentrating on things like reading TV shows or conversations. Number two, memories of the trauma come to mind at unwanted moments. Hmm. Three, part of the traumatic event are hazy or difficult to remember. Four, been avoiding things like places, people, or events that may make you think about the trauma. Mm-hmm. Five, feels rushes of anger. I'm sorry. I wrote all these down, so you can't like print it off. I had to write them all down. So six, been on the edge much more than normal, particularly when they have been other people around. Seven, unable to connect to your emotions, such as not being able to laugh or cry or feel affection for those around you. Eight, been trying to avoid thinking about the trauma or the way it makes you feel. Nine, being frustrated, angry, or upset when remembering the trauma. 10, experience a racing pulse, excessive sweating, shaking, or chills when remembering the trauma. 11, have you been hyper alert, particularly in the situation with lots of other people. I want to come back to that one, Podfather. I want to ask you about that one. 12 memories of the trauma were so vivid you felt like they were reoccurring. 13, ever feel, hold on, I can't even read my handwriting. Ever felt rejected from friends and family or those close to you? 14, are you not interested in doing things or going places that you liked to do or go to before the trauma? 15, life goals you had before the trauma have changed or have gone entirely. That's sad. Mm-hmm. 16, thoughts or memories of the trauma have come to you in your sleep. 17, do you struggle to get to sleep or to stay asleep? That's some heavy duty shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sleep's in there a couple times, but I think other than breathing, you know, sleep is a very important component of mental health and physical health. And, you know, I think a lot of people just working in that line of work, I mean, their sleep is not, I think it's always sporadic.
Yeah. But
if you add some post-traumatic stress to that, and you're having dreams, nightmares, and you can't sleep, and you're lethargic, you're somewhere else, you're not in tune with what's going on, you know, you need to get some help. You need to talk to somebody. You need to go process this with a therapist or a close friend or somebody you trust, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And get some help. So can you imagine, I mean, even if you just had like three or four of these or five of these, can you imagine like what your life is like? Just you know, kind of, like, you know, having, you know, have to, you know, just memories of trauma that were so vivid that you felt it was reoccurring. You know, just all this stuff that is constantly on your mind. I mean, how could somebody do their job even if they had three of these things? You know, I just, you know, you guys got to get help. I want to give you my trauma. It's not a big deal. Listen, everybody has their own trauma. Everybody has their own experiences. Everybody has their own things. And I know this is to seem trivial to compared to some of the things that are going on out there, but this is my trauma that reoccurs. I can answer some of these questions to it. And it has to do with what my daughter, Candace, when she was a young baby, she must've been 5 or 6 years old. I was at a golf course. Wintertime, we were sleigh riding. And nothing happened. She's fine, perfect. She doesn't even know, you know, what goes on in my head. I was at the bottom of the hill, not a big hill, you know, a 5-year-old hill. And I was standing there and I jumped over her when she came down. And I stopped and looked back and I said, that was stupid. What if I kicked her in the fucking head and killed her? That was 30 years ago, guys. Right. That still bothers me today. Now, I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not, you know, but every once in a while I'll be like, I can see vividly. I understand when they say it's vividly in my mind. I don't live it. It's not there like I live it, but it's very vivid. So Podfather, from your expertise, how do people deal with this? Like this shooting people, seeing somebody dead, reviving them. Not only do you have to protect yourselves, after you shoot somebody, you have to bring them back to life, Podfather. That's insane. You know?
Yeah. Well, what you're talking about with your daughter, I mean, that's normal. I think a lot of parents, you know, will remember certain incidents like that where bad things could have happened and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, it's kind of a normal response because you could have kicked her, you could have fallen on her, whatever. But you know the repercussions wouldn't have been good. So as a caring, you know, doting father, of course you're going to worry about that because bad things could have happened, but it didn't happen. So you learn. So a teachable moment, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
But I've had police officers in this office that have been involved in shootings, stabbings. One was just wasn't that long ago. There were two officers, and they were both minority officers compared to, you know, they weren't white, but definitely two very good, capable police officers. One was Southeast Asian, one was Latino, and both of them trained seasoned cops. One was a transfer from another big city around here, and the other one was a 6-year veteran who was brought up in a Khmer environment. And both of them were probably the two of the healthiest examples of, you know, police officers that had taken someone's life as a result of someone trying to take their life. And they both handled it amazingly. I remember taking notes and talking with them, and both of them had agreed, not together. I saw them both separately, but it was just amazing. Both of them had talked because they experienced this together, and it was either him or us. And we had no choice. And this is what we were trained to do. Mm-hmm. And they did everything right by the book. You know, it didn't, I'm not saying they didn't lose sleep. I don't think they were happy they had to take someone's life. I know they weren't happy. Mm-hmm. They wish they didn't have to, you know, been involved in this, but they were. So I think you can be trained well enough. And if you really have a, you know, an understanding that's part of the job and it could happen, I guess you can get by. But there are other incidents where there were questions asked. You know, a lawyer gets involved, the city gets involved, you know, the administration are asking questions. And now you got somebody who's shaky all the time, doesn't sleep, can't think straight, you know, names in the paper. And, you know, so it can go in many different directions, you know, but the most important thing is to talk to somebody, get some help. Do not suffer in silence.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I found amazing about this study, guys, that's minddiagnostics.com. That's their, go to their PTSD quiz.
Right.
This will all be in the show notes, guys. It's a great quiz. Just take it if you think you have it. But the one thing that they kept saying, they say the trauma. They never say your trauma or my trauma. I was always taught the same thing with anxiety. My therapist always told me, don't call it your anxiety. Don't own it. The minute you don't own it, it doesn't exist for you. And it's this next step to get it, to get it going, to get it out of your life, to easier to get out of your life. Because if you put a label on it, it's mine. Like, this is my pen. You know, so I own this pen. I don't want you taking my pen. But if it's just a pen, the pen, and you take it on me, okay, well, they just took the pen. But they took my pen. You know what I mean? So we don't, that's one important thing that I've learned, is that you don't own the trauma. You don't own the anxiety. So
yeah, detach the title. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And you know, what stuck out to me was it comes back at unwanted times, and that's what mine does. And it literally, so yelling is one of the things that gets to me, and yelling something that it can, my trauma will get re-sparked if my boyfriend's in the car and he's like, watch out. Like if there's a car coming, like my blood and my body tense up, almost like my blood feels cold. But that's almost like a response that I wish didn't happen, because I need to really jump at one point. So, and I'm sure that, you know, and that's what I mean by uncertain times. And I'm like, don't want it to come back up. That's when it likes to pop up. And I'm sure with first responders, that could be super hard when it's attached to the job.
Heightened responses like that, like Skylar's talking about, you know, it can cause arguments. I mean, you know, like I could be driving with my wife, and she's always a backseat driver. She's always in the front seat, but you know, I'm either too close to the curb. You know, there's always something. You know, you miss the turn. You're gonna miss the turn. It makes me nuts. But you know, when somebody screams or hits you and say, hey, "Look out!" and you really have it in control, you're just somewhere else. You know, that heightened response can really could create a lot of havoc. Create an argument. You know, it's just not a healthy thing. Yeah. But I think it's normal. I think it's normal behavior too. And you know, as far as post-traumatic stress, regular people. I mean, you can, like Eddie, that what you're talking about with your daughter. I mean, that's post-traumatic stress. I mean, it's after the fact, and you still think about it, and it causes you a little disturbance. But
yeah.
I bet you there's a way you could process that and put it away for good, you know, if it was bothering you so much that you always thought of it. I think it's healthy in a way, you know, sometimes to think about some of the mistakes we made, but nobody got hurt.
Yeah. Well, Podfather, you actually just helped me here. You said you learned from it, and you get, nothing happened. You know, and you said you learned from it, and you know not to do it again. That right then and there, just that little piece just helped me hugely, you know, just hugely helped me here. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's a little deeper if we go into some of the stuff the first responders see, you got to get a little bit deeper, but, From what I'm told, EMDR, which is, what is it? IRAP, eye movement, desensitization.
Yeah.
And
very good.
Reprocessing.
Yeah. Yep. I just like to say EMDR.
Yeah. EMDR is fine, right?
I know it's easier.
Yeah. Kathy next door uses that a lot with her clients. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And she raves about it. She thinks it's a deaf, and she's used it with police officers too. Mm-hmm. So I've never been trained. I don't use it.
Yeah. And it's an acceleration process to get that trauma or that right. that, you know, helps you along with the PTSD.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's been shown to have been really effective in helping lessen people's trauma, PTSD. Right. And
trauma, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly think even being hypnotized, you know, if you really want to, you know, put some effort into it and you go see a specialist, somebody that's, you know, known for being able to hypnotize people and help them with trauma. You know, I think you can get a lot from that because, you know, you got to realize that, you know, just think of the brain. What an amazing thing the brain is. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it holds on to things from 30, 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. you know, and it gives it to you once in a great while. It just spits it at you. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. there it is. You
know, I can't remember my kid's name, but the right. fucking trauma comes up like it's like happened two minutes ago.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know?
Yep.
One other one I want to talk about, because this Podfather, I when I talk to first responders trying to get them into helping get into treatment, this comes up a lot. It's question number six. And I just want to run this by you guys. Been on the edge much more than normal, particularly when I've been around other people. You know, I always hear, oh, man, I'm just really edgy, and especially when I'm my wife, especially when the baby cries, I've been on the edge, you know, I've been drinking a lot more and it calms me down, but I really been on the edge when, you know, when my wife yells at me or when this one yells at me. Does anybody want to talk on that? I think that's something very, very common that I hear anyways.
Right. Well, I think being edgy, I mean, obviously when you're being involved in something that's, you know, traumatic, and if it's a job related incident, you know, you have to write reports and you have to answer questions and it has to be cleared eventually. I'm just like, say a shooting or a stabbing or something. You know, it has to be cleared, especially a shooting, because right away they take your weapon. They, you know, I think you're going to be on the edge with anybody. That's just going to consume you 24/7. If that's your profession, can you imagine a carpenter? All of a sudden something happens and they got to take all his tools and, you know, they're going to pay you, you're going to go home, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're going to let you know when you can come back to work. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, don't do mm-hmm. anything with your tools, stay home. You know, I mean, that's basically what they're telling police officers, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's one profession where it's a little different, you know, firemen, you know, EMS, they might be investigated for certain things, but not so much for their actions, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, as far as performing their job,
yeah.
You didn't put the hose on the fire long enough, or you didn't go up the ladder fast enough. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But a cop, you know, ends up in a shooting or some type of brawl, you know, or something, a car accident. No matter what you do, that it's going to draw attention from the media. It's going to draw attention from your superiors, the city's, you know, elders, the politicians, and then you go home, and who where else are you going to go? You're going to go to your home. That's where you're at, your abode, and your wife, your children, your significant other, whatever, they're going to be part of this one way or the other, unfortunately, because why are you home, Dad? How come you're not working, you know?
Well, and it gets deeper too, Podfather, is that, you know, if you're suspended without pay, then there's that stress,
right?
Because you know, now, you know, how long you're suspended without pay, how long is this investigation going on, the problems from the investigation, the newspapers, and now I can't pay my bills, you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know that world, so I'm not sure if they suspend them without pay,
right. Right.
You know, I don't know how that goes, but I'm
but
sure
that added pressure can't help. For yeah. sure, you know, that yeah. the first responders have from PTSD, like yeah. you said, the politicians, the job, and then home
right.
life.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of extra external exactly. pressure on top of what you feel inside.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. so it's if a lot you have to a process.
If you have a hometown newspaper, I mean, they love to take something that's, you know, cut and dry, but they can dice it up. They can make it look any way they want to make it look. Mm-hmm. and they want to sell papers, especially nowadays, mm-hmm. because it's a dying profession. It's going away. I mean, mm-hmm. the newspapers are this big now. They used to be this big. You know?
I know.
I remember reading a paper. I'd be holding it out here. Now you can read it with one hand. You know?
That is true. I never thought about right? that. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and all this stuff is good, guys. Again, this was from minddiagnostics.com. The 10 symptoms were from Facty.com, F-A-C-T-Y, Facty.com.
Right.
And that's under 10 symptoms of PTSD. Just search that. And again, we'll put all this stuff in the show notes. You guys can always go back to the show notes to get all this information. And guys, I think we covered PTSD pretty in depth. I mean, I just all these questions, all these symptoms. I think, you guys had some good stuff to add to everything. I hope
it was a good topic.
I think it was a good topic.
And I appreciate you and Skylar, research and everything you did and bringing on the topic, because it really, if I'm listening to the show as a fireman or an EMS or a cop or even a veteran or anybody that's had PTSD, a correctional officer, I appreciate it. I got a lot of good information out of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could have picked any topic, and this is really good.
Yeah, it was a good topic. I do want to kind of sum everything up, but I just want to say one thing, Podfather, about fire, EMS, police, corrections, everything. They may have jobs, badges, guns, fire hoses, whatever, but when we take their jobs away, like Podfather said, there's an investigation. Yeah, you might be taking your gun away, or yeah, they're not going to the firehouse, but you're taking one thing in common away from the whole crew here we were just talking about, is that they want to help people.
Right.
And sitting in their house, reading a newspaper, driving around, they're not helping people. You guys are built, bred, and trained to help people no matter what. And mm-hmm. that's when this shit goes down like this and they're stripped of, I don't care if it's a firefighter or whatever, they cannot help people anymore. And that's a major problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I'm not suggesting in any way, and I know none of us are, that if somebody does something that's illegal, that's wrong, that's blatantly wrong, we've seen it, on TV. All right. Nobody's going to stick up for those people. Those people mm-hmm. need to get punishment just like anybody else would.
Absolutely.
But I'm talking about mm-hmm. the police officer that just unexpectedly walks into a house where someone's yep. coming at him with a hatchet and he has to back up. And he, luckily the dispatcher was still on the phone with a family member. Mm-hmm. And the policeman says, drop it, drop it, drop it three times. And then he shoots him and kills him. And this family, as sad as it was for them, they never sought a lawsuit because they were there. They mm-hmm. called the police because the mm-hmm. son was going after the father. He'd already cut him up. He was all cut up. The father met the police outside, covered in blood, no shirt on. Mm. The cop actually thought he was the bad guy when he pulled up. And it was a kid home from college who was on some type of hallucinogenic or some type of drug, from what I understand. Mm. And that was it. Now, you know what? As bad as that was, the police officer continued his career to this day. I think he's either a captain or a lieutenant now. Yep. And it happened and it was awful. Thank God. Yeah, not thank God, but nowadays, if it happened and it was somebody, somebody of a different nationality, it'd be a different ball game. And, that's the sad part, because this is what another log on the fire of that stressful blaze that's going on these poor people,
Again, dropping a bucket, PTSD. Yep. From internal and external, guys.
Right.
So, hey, guys, great show here. Amazing. Good job. Skylar, I have to give you and me a pat in the back as a Podfather. Like he said, good research. But the Podfather lived this shit, man. He knows this stuff. He studied this stuff. He talks to people about it. You know what I mean? So I got to give him a pat in the back, too, for putting up with our little bit of knowledge that we armed ourselves with.
Great topic. Great topic.
Good job, guys. Thank you very much. Podfather?
Yep. Hey, answering the call, the First Responders Podcast, sponsored by FirstNet, built by AT&T. Stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe.
That concludes this episode of Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast. Thanks to Genesis House. FirstNet, built with AT&T, for supporting those on the path to recovery and keeping this valuable resource free for all our friends in recovery. Follow us on Facebook for past shows and updates, and enjoy free access to twice daily support meetings. Brought to you by Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery. If you can't get enough of Mike, the Podfather, Jersey Ed, and Skyler, you can catch them on Friends in Recovery, the Addiction Recovery Podcast. Available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and GenesisHouse.net.